From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made January 6th of this year when Jiva Theater Center announced they had hired a new executive director and co-CEO. His name's Christopher Minnelli, and he came to Rochester from Chicago at the Victory Gardens Theater. He was the managing director there, and he brings to Rochester the kind of experience that should help him understand how to grow the audience in our own city. Today, for the first time, Chris Minnelli is a guest on Connections, and he's not alone. This hour, we're looking at the efforts to grow the theater scene from a professional organization like Jiva, grassroots organizations, different and growing companies here. It's a diverse scene, and let me go ahead and welcome our guests in studio for the hour. Christopher Minnelli is the executive director and co-CEO of Jiva Theater Center. How are you enjoying Rochester?
That's been great. It's been a terrific welcoming experience.
That's what you have to say.
No, it's been wonderful. I've only been here 4 months now, but the community has welcomed me with open arms, and so has the arts community too. It's been terrific.
Well, welcome. It's been great to talk to you. You're in a historic institution, as you know, and it's great to have you here. Danny Hoskins here. He is the artistic and managing director at Blackfriars Theater. About a year into your own run there?
Yeah, I've got a few more days, and then my first year is down.
Congratulations to you.
Thanks.
And we're
going to
be talking about some of the intentions and changes at Blackfriars. Mary Tabali Hoffman is the Vice President of Theater Rocks and Development Manager for Blackfriars Theater. And Mary, Theater Rocks goes back to 2008, right?
It sure does.
So you guys are coming up on a decade of Theater Rocks. What's the brief definition? Because I'm sure someone, especially who like the art scene, have heard it, but remind the audience what Theater Rocks is.
Sure. Theater Rocks is a dynamic, not-for-profit consortium of local theater groups in Rochester. So we're all about promoting the shows that each of us are presenting throughout the season. So we're kind of here for support, I'll say, for all of our local arts institutions.
Very good. Well, you know, I'm just back from a week-long vacation. We had the show planned. Want to talk about the theater scene in Rochester. And then the Democrat and Chronicle runs this big story on a 22-year-old quest of the Rochester Broadway Theater League to bring a big new performing arts center to the city. Arnie Rothschild's not giving up. In fact, there are new proposals right now to get things done for a new theater. Could be 3,000 seats or more. And despite a fruitless 22 years, Arnie says it can still happen. So this morning I talked to him via phone briefly just about that quest that's ongoing. So let's listen to that now. We'll get our guest reactions, and then we'll talk about the scene on all angles. But this is Arnie Rothschild. Arnold Rothschild, welcome back to Connections. Thank you for taking the time.
And thanks, Evan. I always enjoy spending time with you.
Well, you know, I was off last week, and I finally catch up with the Democrat and Chronicle article detailing 22 years of your efforts to get a performing arts center downtown. Do you feel you are any closer now than you were 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, I always say that, you know, building performing arts centers is a little bit like a marriage. The first 22 years are always the hardest. But I think we are. I think, you know, as things are aligning right now, you know, the community is going to have to make a decision, I think, as to what they would like to see on Parcel 5. And, you know, if that's a performing arts center, great. You know, in the past, we've taken a look at whether or not we could accomplish this in the city or we had to move to the suburbs. We are hopeful that we can accomplish it in the city. We do think that there is a lot of positive momentum right now, and hopefully this all comes together.
I know this question has come up a lot, but we've got guests in our studio today from different companies and from different backgrounds. And I know you've addressed this, but address it again right now. If you are successful, if there is a new performing arts center, 3,000 seats downtown, how could it not have a negative impact on at least some of the other companies in town?
I actually believe it'll be the opposite. I think that in every city where you've seen a new performing arts center developed, you've seen growth of the other arts groups. First of all, you share databases. People get more used to coming into downtown for entertainment. You see the growth of additional venues in addition around the Performing Arts Center properties. So I think actually it'll have the opposite effect. I do understand that most arts groups think in the frame of reference of being arts groups as opposed to the the business of presenting. But wherever entertainment grows, other entertainment grows. We see this all over the country, including and especially New York City. So, you know, I think somehow If they looked at what we're talking about in terms of a business frame of reference instead of an arts group frame of reference, they might come to a different conclusion.
Even Jiva Theater.
Including Jiva Theater, because you know what ends up happening is the greatest problem for arts organizations moving forward is what to do to build new young audiences, and the popular entertainment component is one. But let me give you a great example. Phantom of the Opera was a lot of people's first exposure, excuse me, to anything operatic, and that gave birth to three tenors, and three tenors then gave birth to a growth in opera. So what ends up happening is that you know there is this thirst, if you will, for more and better entertainment, but there has to be a point of entry. I think that as we share databases with Jiva, as everyone gets more focused on not just super serving their core constituency, but how to grow that, those databases, cross-promotion, cross-marketing will be beneficial to organizations, including and especially Jiva.
And smaller theater groups as well, from Blackfriars to groups across the Finger Lakes, you think everyone stands to gain?
I absolutely do. I think what ends up happening is you'll see a tremendous amount of growth, excuse me, in a marketplace of people who are looking to seek more entertainment. And so I think smaller theater companies will benefit as well. I think you'll see better trained actors coming out of our high schools. I think you'll see more excitement in terms of folks pursuing this as careers. I think inevitably, when you have a great core of entertainment and you see the growth in all of the arts, and by the way, that's happened every place in the country.
Well, you know, I'm not in the business to give out advice, but I think you can get this done if you can guarantee Hamilton comes to Rochester.
Well, actually, Hamilton becomes a very interesting part of the story. As Hamilton began to look at their road tour, they started looking at theater capacities. And as you know, I've been talking for a long time about my concern about the size of the auditorium theater. And so they made a list based on theater capacities of towns that they would go to, because Hamilton obviously is the hottest product that's been on Broadway in many years. Rochester was on the second page of the list because it's only 2,460 seats. So you have Buffalo at well over 3,000. Let's just, you know, kind of do the math. If you had an additional 400 seats in Buffalo and 8 performances, although in the case of Hamilton, most probably you look at a 2 or 3 week run. So let's say 16 performances. All of a sudden there's 6,400 more seats to sell. It costs the same to ship the show, house the show, feed the show, stage the show. So Rochester loses by virtue of the fact that our venue is too small. We're on the second page of that tour.
Okay, well, last question then, Arnie, which is that I think this is an arts town, it's a theater town, but I think there's also, based on the history of Rochester and our region, a skepticism among taxpayers about big outlays of taxpayer dollars on big public projects. And I know there are multiple possibilities here for a performing arts center, some of which include big public money, some of which do not. But if public money is required here, you think that is a good way to spend tax dollars?
If you're talking about capital expenditure money, I do. If you were talking about subsidy, I don't. Now, here's the difference in my mind. We have to do something to rebuild our downtown. In Rochester, New York, like this or not, and I apologize to everyone, there's never been a major capital expenditure project that was done that didn't involve Eastman Kodak, Xerox, or Bausch & Lomb. And so a lot of people of my age who should have been doing these major capital expenditure projects in the past haven't done them. And so if you're rebuilding your downtown, a performing arts center in the middle of downtown, I think, is a good capital expenditure. But I would also point to the fact that we have no problem in New York State building football stadiums to be used 8 or 9 weeks a year. We have no problem spending $2 billion to build 2 baseball stadiums in New York City. We have no problem spending south of $70 million to build an amphitheater near the fairgrounds in Syracuse, and yet we argue about whether or not it's a good use of capital expenditure dollars to build a performing arts center that would change the nature of our downtown and cause people to move in and rebuild the tax base. So I think it's a very worthwhile capital expenditure. I don't believe it's going to need an operating subsidy, nor would I agree with one.
We're going to spend the rest of our hour talking to our guests about the way the theater scene is growing here, and I look forward to that. We will come back to the bigger Performing Arts Center question in a future date, because I know there's a lot going on, so I hope to see you in studio on this soon, Arnie.
Thanks, Evan. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, that's Arnold Rothschild, who's the chairman of the Rochester Broadway Theater League, making the case that a 3,000-plus seat Performing Arts Center would be good not just for RBTL, but for everybody. Let's go around the table and ask if they agree. Now, Christopher Minnelli is new to Jiva as the new executive director and co-CEO, but my guess is you've studied the history of big public expenditures, of the theater scene here. Where do you stand on what you heard from Mr. Rothschild there?
Well, in theory, I think a performing arts center could be a wonderful thing, but I don't actually know if that's what the proposals are that are on the table right now. You know, we're talking about a very specific venue right now for touring Broadway shows. If we were talking about a performing arts center that had multiple venues, that had classroom space for educational purposes, that had dance studios for other groups, that was really a place for the community to gather, for us to celebrate art and celebrate the incredible art that's happening all throughout this city, I think that would be something really interesting to talk about. It's a little trickier when we're talking about a very specific venue for one use.
Just a theater.
Well, not just a theater, a 3,000-seat theater that's specifically designed for road shows. It doesn't do as much for the rest of the community when we're sitting here with other theaters of other smaller sizes, but dance groups, there's a huge visual arts community that could have a part in a community arts center, a performing arts center that could speak to not just a theater community.
Okay, and I certainly wouldn't want to assume or put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you may disagree with his take that this is inherently good for Jiva.
I don't necessarily see an inherent upswing for any of the other arts organizations in the community in the current proposal. I think there could be a proposal that spoke to a lot of different arts organizations in the city, and that would be a wonderful thing.
But you haven't seen it yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, let's ask Danny Hoskins, the Artistic and Managing Director of Blackfriars Theater. You heard Arnold Rothschild mention Blackfriars. Good for Blackfriars, he says. What do you think?
I agree with Chris. I think the intent behind it, the theory behind it, is fantastic, to be able to broaden the horizon for what we're able to do in the arts community. But to the companies that use local artists, that produce everything locally, that create everything locally, and you're talking about a touring house coming in that the money goes to the touring companies, it comes in, they bring them in, and then they go away. It's a very different dynamic that they're working with business model-wise and artistically than the local companies and the smaller local companies like Blackfriars or even JCC, Center Stage. I agree with Chris. I don't inherently see anything changing for any of us by the addition of a new performing arts center. And what concerns me more is what happens to the auditorium theater. Well, that has classrooms in it. That has smaller theaters in it. That's a fantastic, 2,600, 2,800 seat theater. And I'm not sure that 3,000 seats is something that can be filled every time that it's going to be used, which brings up another question. But we're talking about revitalizing downtown, and there's an initiative that's been going on for a couple of years now to revitalize the East Main Street area and the public market area. They want to make that area an entranceway to the city. They want to bring people in that way, just like they revitalized. They have the archway off of 490 coming in, and Jiva's right there. They're one of the cornerstones of that entrance, which is fantastic. The auditorium could be a cornerstone of this new entranceway, which they're trying to revitalize. And what happens when they leave that, and now there's a giant building right where they want to try and make it an exciting new energetic area for people to come into the city. There's an open, empty, defunct building there that nothing can be done with it, and you've kind of shot yourself in the foot.
Let me ask Mary, the Vice President of Theater Rocks,
sure.
Your thoughts on what you heard from Mr. Rothschild on growing the theater scene?
I have very much the same reaction as Chris and Danny, particularly because Theater Rocks has very many teeny tiny little theater groups involved in it, you know, emerging theater groups, but nowhere near the capacity of an RBTL or even a Jiva. You know, combined, we get about 250,000 people coming to see us, but many of our organization members aren't competing with RBTL, and their missions aren't the same. So I, you know, while I do agree that it could expose some young people to shows like Phantom of the Opera, which is usually the show that most people say, oh yeah, that was the first show I attended, and for many it's the point of reference when it comes to theater performance. I think that they'll be inspired by seeing that, but it's really the organization members under Theater Rocks that are going to let them participate in the art in a way that goes beyond just being an audience member. And I would like to see more support from the city and from our community for those already established organizations in town. We have wonderful theater arts organizations, many of whom are located right downtown, who could very much benefit from that kind of exposure and support and attention.
All right, two additional short points here. First of all, if I had Mr. Rothschild still in studio, I would say, Arnie, and I'll say this the next time he's here, I would say, man, you got Book of Mormon. You got it. You know, it came here. I went to it. It was fabulous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't need a 3,000-seat theater to get Book of Mormon. It was remarkable. But what he's saying is a friend texted me during that interview and said, you cannot promise Hamilton. Come on, man. We're not getting Hamilton. You know,
but
Arnie's saying, you know, it's possible if you can get a bigger theater, that 3,000 is much more of a magic number that puts you on the first page instead of the second page. Anybody here think we're getting Hamilton? Man, that would be cool. It's a long way away anyway,
it's
right?
A long
we're
way
talking,
away.
We're
well,
talking
you know
years.
What I think the amazing thing is that you'll see Hamilton in the schools before you see it anyplace else, and that's actually an incredible thing, and that's a great thing, that students are going to have the opportunity to do that before anyone else, and so that's where you'll see it, and that's where it matters.
The other question I heard from a listener was, you know, don't we already have places for small events, dance areas, arts education? Doesn't the city have those, but not this bigger venue?
It does. There's the Arts Nazareth College Art Center. Talking in the city, there are other venues for smaller companies to perform at. And one of the things, you know, Mary said about being able to support smaller companies like Blackfriars. We get calls all the time to be able to use our space. If we had a little bit of a different structural organization, which with some more support, we could be a performing arts center, so to speak. We could have other companies rent out our space, perform in our theater, dance companies, theater companies perform in our spaces just because of the nature of our size and our structure. At this moment, we're pursuing ways that we can change that, but at this moment, we don't have the ability to do that. So there are ways for it to be downtown, other performing arts centers.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the various issues that are confronting and being confronted by the groups represented in theater. And if you've got questions or comments to make on the theater scene, we'd love to hear from you. I'm already seeing some of that come in. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. I mentioned earlier that Christopher Minelli is the new executive director and co-CEO of Jiva Theater Center, came from Chicago at the Victory Gardens Theater. You were there for how long?
I was in Chicago for 10 years. I was at Victory Gardens for 5 of those years.
Okay. And what did you learn in Chicago that you bring to Rochester that helps you? Because every city's different.
Yeah.
And every city's got a different sort of fabric of theater and arts. But what did you learn in Chicago that helps you come to a smaller city and say, this, you know, can help us grow the scene here?
Well, the unique thing about Chicago as an arts town is that the theater scene is really vibrant. There are 250, 300 theaters of all shapes and sizes in that city. But it's not a competitive feeling in the way the arts work in Chicago. It's very collaborative. People are willing to help each other. People want to work with each other because everyone believes that the more good work you do, it makes it better for everyone else. So, you know, in my entrance to this city, I'm looking for those connections as well. I think it's really important that smaller organizations and bigger organizations are working collaboratively to increase the outreach for arts all around the community. So I think that's a key issue that I'm looking at and something that I'm looking to make connections, and it's great to be here in the room with other people.
Did you see in Chicago, best you could measure it, a growing base of theater goers, of people who were enthusiastic about productions, wanted to go more nights a year? You know, it's one thing to get someone who's never gone to the theater, that's great. It's another to say someone goes one or two nights a year, now they're going to go five or six nights a year. Do you feel like that happened in Chicago?
Well, I don't know if I can speak directly to the number of people, mm-hmm. but that is one of the similarities that I see between the two communities. You know, there's a excited, vibrant community of arts lovers here in Rochester, and that connects very clearly to what I saw when I was living in Chicago as well.
And let me ask, this is coming from a total place of ignorance, but I look at Jeeva and I say, what is there anything like it out there? I mean, you must come to Jeeva, and I'm sure you've seen a lot more than I have, but the space, the stage, the building, to me is, so, I can't say so unique. You can't modify unique. It's unique or it isn't. But what do you make of the actual building compared to what you have seen?
No, I mean, it's a really special place. And it's one of the things that drew me here was that it's a special place. But it's not just the facility that's special. It's the people that make up that company are really special. They're incredibly committed. It's a wonderful group of artists. And the art is at the highest level. So all of those things made it really easy for me to say, yes, I really want to come here.
I know you're new here. Eventually, you're going to meet Mark Cuddy. He is he's really special. I bring up Mark because, you know, we talk about the productions that have been created there, and I'm curious to know how you are getting along and how you are approaching the work of deciding what you want to do there.
Yeah, it's a partnership. It's really important. And that's one of the things that's the most important part when a new executive director or artistic director comes into an organization is you're looking for people that can create that really strong dynamic partnership that'll move the organization forward. So that clicked for us right away, and it's been a great start, and I think it's going to be a long and fruitful friendship and partnership.
All right, we're going to get into the season, the upcoming season, a little bit later this hour, but just give me one. Put a flag in the ground for one production you're really excited for.
So there's a new play that's going to happen in the spring called Other Than Honorable, dealing with the issue of sexual harassment in the military. It's incredible that it's a new work, that it's going to be on the Wilson stage in the big theater. It's in a really important topic that we're bringing out to light. So
Other Than Honorable. Okay. Well, we'll get into the season a little bit more coming up in a minute here. Let me turn to our other guests who are in studio. Danny Hoskins, again, wrapping up about a year at Blackfriars Theater. And before the program began, you mentioned that Blackfriars is a company that is changing a little bit, maybe becoming a little less, a little less insular, a little more publicly outreaching, yeah?
Yeah, a little more community-oriented. Blackfriars has been a staple of the Rochester community for 66 years. We're going into our 67th season. So it's been in the theater community for a long time. And this year, we decided to start to reach out into the community more. So we've engaged six new artistic and educational and community partners. We're working with Nazareth College Visual Communications Design Program for students. We're in their classroom working with their students to design our logos. We're working with RIT's theater department for internships in acting and stagecraft for their students. We've partnered with Push Physical Theater for a world premiere this first season. We're working with two new comedy companies. We've created the new Blackfriars comedy series with two local companies, Unleashed Improv and Canary in a Coal Mine. And we partnered with Writers and Books this year for the first ever 24-hour musical theater festival, where we write, create, invent, rehearse, memorize, and produce and perform brand new musicals in 24 hours. So we're reaching out to the community in a number of new ways to give back to the community, to find ways where we can leverage other partnerships, other artistic partnerships, and educational partnerships with other organizations in the community.
We are not scratching anybody's backs. That's not how booking on this program works. But I will say producer Megan Mack, for the producer of Connections, is one of the really, really smart comedy minds in this town. She teaches comedy, and she writes some comedy. She tried her hand at 24 Hours
in
the musical and did a wonderful job.
Yes,
I enjoyed watching her do that. And I think what a tremendous challenge that must be. Are you sticking in comedy? What are you doing, by the way?
I got my master's in acting. I'm an actor and a director.
And I've seen you on stage with some comedy groups here. So
I've done some Estrofest stuff. I've worked.
They've
with
dragged
the
you into
Estrofest.
That. Yeah. Some great fun.
They got me there. I have some good friends in the company, and I only would get into a tutu for them. I told them, and so they made me even get into a tutu at one point. but no more, Allison Roberts. No more.
How often are you on stage, if at all, then, Dave?
It's been a little while, but actually this coming season I'll be getting back on stage. I'll be playing Biff in our production of Death of a Salesman at the end of the season, so I'll be able to get back. It's been a couple years since I've been on stage doing anything. Usually I'm behind the scenes administratively and directing.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm okay with that, as long as I can stretch those legs. You know, it's part of who I am. It's part of that artistic soul of that expression of being an actor. But I really enjoy the collaborative nature of being in the administrative seat, being in the director's seat, working with a team of artists, working with my board, working with a team of volunteers. I'm more of a I really enjoy that aspect too.
All right, Mary Tibelli Hoffman is Vice President of Theater Rocks and Development Manager for Blackfriars, but as I want to turn to your Theater Rocks hat.
Sure.
Because you mentioned this is an organization that has sort of these sometimes really small groups that are coming in, and how many total groups now with Theater Rocks?
We have over 20 groups involved, from little guys just starting out.
Name five or six, just real
quick.
Sure.
One of our newest members is Kingfisher Theater, who just completed their first full season this year, so they're pretty new. They're emerging, but they're taking Rochester by storm. All the way up to Jiva Theater Center is a member of Theater Rocks. So we cover the gamut from, you know, $5,000 budgets all the way up to $7 million.
Is that correct, by the way? Is that about, yeah. Is that about right?
Is.
7 million?
So,
okay. And what's the goal of Theater Rocks in the future, Mary?
It's our mission to raise awareness in the Rochester community about the amazing theatrical productions that are available for our audiences. Our biggest focus is promoting shows. So all of our member groups commit to putting the page for stage, our playbill insert, in their playbills. And it's really great because, say, you're new to the community and you've heard about Jiva, so you go see a Jiva production and you see in the playbill, oh, here are listings for all these other great productions happening around town. We think that that's really important, that we all work together to help cross-promote, because one theater lover at Jiva might be a theater lover of what's going on over at Blackfriars, who might then take a chance on you know, Out-of-Pocket Productions, which is a smaller group, but that does great work in our community for a good cause. So really, we're here to unite all of the theater organizations and to help each other grow our audiences.
All right, let's get our only break of the hour, and when we come back, I want to talk to this group about the way they're trying to grow audiences, particularly in sort of the modern digital age, getting people to come out and see live performance when everyone sort of has everything at their fingertips in terms of mobile media and the challenge that presents. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk more about their upcoming seasons here. You already heard Chris Minnelli mention a fascinating production coming in the spring to Jiva. And by the way, Chris, remind us, because that is a subject that has been a hot subject, and I think that'll be the good basis for a conversation on the program then, so I'm just going to plant that flag right now. But we'll come back and talk more about their coming seasons, talk about what Blackfriars and Theater Rocks have coming up, get more of your comments as well after this short break on Connections. And coming up Wednesday on Connections, we're talking about the Jail Project. It's a collaboration between Nazareth College and the Monroe County Correctional Facility, where students and inmates discuss literature and its relation to our lives. We're going to talk about the impact. Then in our second hour, we'll talk to members of the local Caribbean community about their efforts to increase awareness about their culture and create opportunities for Caribbean youth in Rochester. That's all Wednesday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Mary Tibelli Hoffman is here from Theater Rocks, Danny Hoskins from Blackfriars Theater, and Christopher Minnelli from Jiva Theater. Chris is the new executive director and co-CEO there, and they're all talking about their roles in the growing theater scene. Well, what they hope is the growing theater scene in Rochester. But Chris, I just mentioned that, you know, everyone sort of in the modern theater age has to grapple with trying to get people to come out and see live performance art. And everybody through the beginning of time in performance artists wanted to create audiences, but now you've got mobile media. People can see a lot where they want it. People can watch things in demand. And so you have to convince them to come out and do something live and lock in and see it live. How have you seen, even in your own career, that challenge unfold, and what do you do about it?
Well, I think, you know, the onset of mobile media and social media is actually a great opportunity because it gives you all these new chances to meet people where they are, right? To give them a taste of what's going to happen, to get people intrigued, to get them to want to come to the theater. Nothing takes the place of the theater experience. You know, it's so unique. Where else do you go with 500 people or 50 people and see a piece of art live on stage that depends on you in the audience to make it complete? You know, if the actors are just up there with an empty theater, it's called a rehearsal, right? It's not a show. It's not a show until the audience is there in partnership. So it's a really special thing, but that's the great thing about social media is it lets you invite people in new, different ways.
Okay. What do you think, Danny?
I think I agree with Chris. I think it's a really exciting way to get to anyone wherever they are. And I think you're able to, if you can use it right, you're able to leverage what you're doing in the theater, what you're doing in the company, to get people excited about that. But I think it's a much faster and direct way to connect with people. I think you can be really specific about the message that you're sending to them through social media, and also you can do some really exciting things with social media that you can't do with like a newspaper ad or even an online ad in order to cultivate interest or generate excitement about something that you're working on.
Mary?
Right. I think that there are incredible opportunities to engage your audience in a different way. So you go see a performance and you're seeing the script and, you know, performers carry it out and, you know, maybe the stagehands in the dark, you know, bringing things on and off. But you can really utilize Facebook to, for instance, to go behind the scenes, show people what it takes to create the art that they see on stage. And I think that that helps to grow audiences, and it also helps to grow fiscal support, which is also very important.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that in a second here. Dave on Twitter says, we go to the Auditorium for Broadway, Jiva for intimate professional, and Blackfriars for local, different roles for different theaters. So that's just one view of the scene there. And Mark in Rochester wants to weigh in on diversity in theater companies. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I was just very curious, you know, your panel is, I have to say, not diverse. I'm just wondering where everybody stands with in terms of developing audiences. What about the more underserved communities, which get more and more distanced from the cultural goings-on in Rochester, particularly with the theater, except with the exception of the Sunhouse Blues production in the last summer in August? There's been quite lacking, and none of you have discussed at all or brought up any points about the incredibly powerful Latino community, the Asian community, the Pan-Asian community, and, of course, the African-American community. And it'd be really interesting to hear what you all have to say in regards to how that outreach is going. Where do you see it going beyond just Hamilton coming to Rochester or not coming to Rochester?
Yeah.
Where is the these very powerful communities being served by your institutions?
Mark, thank you for the phone call. It's a great question, absolutely fair question. I think it's an important question. We've had the Rochester Latino Theater Company on this program a number of times, and that will continue. They do a lot in the community, but obviously they're not alone. And let me kick it to Mary first on that. I thought it was a great question.
Sure. Excellent question. I would point out that under the Theater Rocks umbrella, we do have some organizations that specifically serve those populations. You know, we Rochester Latino Theater Company is one of them. So they do have their audience. I know that every theater in town would love to get everybody's audiences. We do not share databases, which was mentioned earlier. But, you know, we do have Rochester Latino Theater Company, which as a Theater Rocks member, all of these 20 theaters help to promote and hopefully serve that audience as well. But then there's also Calidas, which is an Indo-American group as well. So part of it is we have to have theater companies in town that are specifically serving those communities. And the other part of it is we hope that they will join Theater Rocks to help promote their productions and their programs.
What's it take to join TheatreX?
That's a great question. You have to be a 501c3 organization. You have to either be in the Rochester region or have a large part of your audience coming from the Rochester region. We have a member group, BBT, Bristol Valley Theater, which is in Naples. They're a member, but they get a lot from Rochester. And then you have to have performed 3 productions. So once you do those 3 things, you can join. There's no fee for joining, and we'd love to have you.
And earlier this year, we had a conversation, Mark, on an African-American theater festival, a week-long festival in Rochester. Certainly, we see local companies trying to grow and focus on that, but that's partly incumbent on media and people like me to do a better job there. And let me ask Chris Minnelli a blunt question. You've been here 4 months, so I'll ask you a blunt question. I would think, and I could be wrong. You can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I would think that Jiva is in a somewhat similar boat that an RPO would be in, which is that you don't want your audience to only be old, rich, and white. But a lot of your audience is probably going to be old, rich, and white, or wealthier and white. And that may not be sustainable in perpetuity. You want it to be as egalitarian as possible. You want to bring in as many people as possible. You want to be accessible to everybody. But you have to make money. So how do you go about presenting productions and feeling like you're trying to be as accessible as you can while still meeting your fiscal obligations?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is a critical one that the caller brought up. And I think it's really important that that question is present in the dialogue when you're trying to create your seasons, when you're looking at your directors you're bringing in, the playwrights you're bringing in, so that you can try to find as many opportunities for people to see themselves on that stage or in the art. You know, that's one of those boundaries that we want to break down. So that is a present question. And I will say that it's an ever-growing concern. You have to keep on it all the time. You never get to that place. You can't arrive at a finish line and say, oh, look, we finally done it. It's always work that has to be happening in the room in your season planning and in the way you're presenting opportunities for people to interact and connect with the work that's on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Danny, you want to weigh in on that, or you want to just let them handle it?
No, it's an incredibly important question because the stories we tell should reflect the community that we're in, mm-hmm. And they should be stories that the community that we're in that diverse, so that we all can enjoy them and learn more from them. I was actually just having this conversation about 2 months ago with Ralph Maranto, who's the artistic director at JCC Center Stage, and we were talking about this: how do we diversify our season? Because with Jiva, as they look to their artists, they have almost the whole country at their behest. They can go to New York City and they can cast. So they will have people that will come. If they put a show that's a diverse show, they will have an array of artists come out to work on that. We're using local talent. So when we put up a show that may have a heavy Latino or a heavy African-American or ethnic bent to it, we have to hope that the artists will come out to support that show because we can't cast white people in those plays.
Well, you can. I mean, I, and I'm not being cheeky here. Hollywood's taken some grief for this, whether it's Emma Stone or others who've been in roles that, white actors playing roles that either written for or traditionally non-white roles.
Mm-hmm. They can do their thing, but we're trying to stay true to the source material and true to the stories we're telling. So we were just having this conversation 2 months ago, and I was calling him saying, he's been able to do some pieces there that are very diverse, and I was calling to ask him that question: how do, because there's a number of shows that I'd like to program in my season, how do I know that I can produce these shows successfully and with the artists that it's necessary to do these stories, because these are the stories I'd love to start to tell. And so we started to have a dialogue about how do we reach out into the community? Where can we reach out into the community? Who do we know as artists that we can leverage to get us into these other organizations that could help us find these ethnic artists to tell these stories? So it's a question that's always on our minds. It's just a matter of finding the ways so that we can successfully tell them with the right artists, the right actors. And so that's, you know, that's where it begins for us, is trying to make sure that we can tell these stories with the right people. But we have to find those people first.
Mark, thanks for the phone call. And I think a very important question. I'm glad you asked it. One of the things you heard mentioned earlier this hour is that some of, well, some of the look is changing. I mean, Jiva doesn't even have any walls right now, right? So let me start with Jiva there. What's going on there?
So we're in the final phase of a large-scale renovation of the facility that's been going on for several years. We went into a capital campaign back in 2009 that's been going on till just this summer, where we're going to close it out. But we've been renovating the first stages. We did the artist spaces, we did the offices, we did the rehearsal hall, and now finally, in this phase, we're doing all sort of the public facing places in the theater, the lobby, the cafe, the restaurant, and the inside of the theater seats and the carpeting in there. So when people come in the fall, when we're going to start a little later in the fall because we got to finish up all the work. So we won't start our first show until the beginning of October for next season, which is just about a month later than we usually are. But when people come, they're going to see, they're going to be greeted with a brand new, really warm and welcoming facility.
And you're on time.
Oh, we're on time. Yeah, actually. It's incredible. I mean, it is planned down to the minute, but we have a little bit of time in September to make sure that everything is set and we know how to operate the facility correctly.
All right. Well, so that's what's going on there. For people who haven't seen the Blackfriars space, tell us what that's like, Danny.
We're actually getting a little bit of an overhaul as well this year. Blackfriars is an intimate theater. It's a 126-seat venue. It's a little bit of a thrust stage, which means that the stage goes into the audience a little bit and the audience kind of curves around three sides of it, as opposed to a traditional proscenium where the audience sits directly in front of the stage itself. And this year we're actually redoing our theater as well. We're putting in new seats and new carpets in our theater. And in September, we will have a whole new look to the inside of the theater. Be more comfortable.
And where are you, by the way?
We are at 795 East Main Street, which is actually two doors down from the Auditorium Theater.
There you go. What do you see in the different companies at TheatreX in terms of utilizing space, you know, trying to find the right venues, et cetera?
It's difficult for a lot of these smaller groups. I was just talking to Stephanie Shuda from Out of Pocket Productions the other day, and she's, you know, they don't have a designated space. So they're kind of at the mercy of, you know, this theater has an opening this weekend, but it's the weekend after Thanksgiving, which is really, really hard because that really affects what she's able to produce every season. You know, and then we have other theaters that have their own space, like Jiva, Blackfriars, JCC Center Stage, which, you know, that's not a challenge that they necessarily have to worry about. But for a lot of these small groups, they're looking for rental space. I think they would be very interested in a performing arts center downtown if it had small black box spaces that were for community use. But it's kind of all over the place with our 20 groups.
That's what I think will make the Performing Arts Center conversation over the next couple of months interesting in terms of the proposals that the city gets. Is it really just one theater, or is it a center? You know, we say Performing Arts Center, but is it a theater? And I think we'll have to wait and see what the proposals look like there. So let's spend the last part of our program kind of ripping through what is coming up. And you just heard Chris mention that Jiva opening a little bit later than usual, October 4th. And there you go. So why don't you kind of work us through the season, Chris, if you can?
Sure. So we'll start the season, first preview, October 4th of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. A really fun show. It's going to be a terrific production. Melissa Rain Anderson, who directed Spamalot for us last season, will be back for that. Then we'll go into, we'll be doing Sylvia in the Wilson stage. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Sort of take on that old classic movie, Private Lives. That show I mentioned, Other Than Honorable. And then we're going to close out the season with Million Dollar Quartet, which, if you don't know Million Dollar Quartet, it's the musical show you want to see at the end of next season.
Now, I have never seen Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Was that Sidney Poitier?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's right. So it's a play based on that classic film.
Okay. And can you give me a little bit of the premise there? I'm kind of reading through here. I should know the movie. I don't.
It's a show that deals with the question of racial tension in the 60s. You know, there's a young woman who brings her fiance home and the family, and it's a white family and a black family, and they're kind of thrust together, and they have to deal with what that means. And you sort of see this white family that thought they were really progressive, and it turns out they learn some things that they're not quite there. So it's going to be a great play, issue-oriented. It's going to make a lot of people think, and I think it'll connect really closely to some issues we're dealing with today.
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner opens on Valentine's Day next year. And so when you look at these, you know, racial tensions in that film, you had mentioned, what was the one you mentioned earlier here, Chris?
Other than Honorable.
You know, Jeeva has never shied away from presenting performances that tackle some issues of the time. And the funny thing about a movie with Sidney Poitier, obviously that's a previous generation, that's still such a prevalent issue now. But is that part of the thought process? Are you intentionally not wanting to only create these productions that are going to be enjoyable theater, but also occasionally addressing some issues?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the amazing things that you're able to do in theater, that it's not just about incredible art, which at its core it is, but then you also have this opportunity to create dialogue around that art, and that dialogue can create social change. So I think you have that responsibility as a not-for-profit. You want to connect to your community, and it's one of the things we're able to do through the artwork.
All right, Danny Hoskins, Blackfriars, what's going on now?
Right now, we actually are launching our first high school and college education program this summer, and there's a performance component that we're starting with, and we're doing The Wedding Singer this summer, and then we open with a reimagined production of Assassins, Stephen Sondheim's Assassins, in September. We have The Boys Next Door in October. We have an original comedy, holiday comedy, written for Blackfriars in December, which is The Flight Before Christmas. And then Steve Martin's adaptation of The Underpants, and Hands on Hard Body, which is an adaptation of the documentary. And then we close the season with a classic, Death of a Salesman.
I think we've got a clip from It's Your Wedding Day.
From The Wedding
Singer. You want to help set us up there?
Yeah, this is the opening number. This is it's based on the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movie, and this is the opening number where Robbie Hart, Adam Sandler's character, is deep into his big one-hit wonder wedding song.
Let's listen.
Oh, when it's your wedding day and my music starts to play, I can guarantee. Sammy does Van Halen licks while George gets down on tambourine. We might play you some Careless Whisper or make you wish you had Destiny's Girl instead. Bring the room down with endless love, then blast, bang your head, bang your head. So when it's your wedding,
that's from It's Your Wedding Day from The Wedding Singer, and it's hard to hear that and not think of, you know, how Adam Sandler sings it, but in some degree you can't be Adam Sandler, right?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, the sensibility of the whole piece, it just radiates with his humor, and from the film, and it's directly taken from the film, and it just skewers the 80s. I mean, it just skewers everything about the 80s.
With a little bit of love.
It's totally
a love skewer.
Yeah, oh yeah, very much so. It's a charming, you know, it's a really sweet, charming love letter to the 80s.
All right, if they want to check out the schedule, where do they find more on Blackfriars?
Where do they find more?
Yeah.
At blackfriars.org on our website. You can find out more. Or yeah, if you're interested, you can call the box office.
Now, before I turn to Mary, let me just say, I've been getting some emails from other theater companies. There are so many, and that's part of why Theater Rocks is here. There are dozens. We actually reached out to groups in the Finger Lakes. We wanted to kind of reach out far and wide. This is a broadcast. We're proud to be on WEOS, Finger Lakes Public Radio, 89.5 FM. But we're unsuccessful in that regard. But the point is, there are so many different companies, so much going on in the theater scene. Our goal is not to exclude anybody. There's only so many microphones, and hopefully occasionally they rotate around in the community. But Mary, what would you tell people about what's coming up through Theater Rocks and what's exciting?
Sure. Just in general, any questions you may have, if anything that Chris or Danny has said sounds appealing to you and you forgot to write down the dates, you can always check the Theater Rocks website, which is theaterrocks.org, and that's theater with an R-E and then ROCS is ROCS.org. We have profiles on every single organization member, as well as the full calendar of what they're presenting this season. So it's a one-stop shop for if you're interested in attending a performance. Yeah, and we have a lot going on as an organization. We'll have our annual Fringe venue during the First Niagara Fringe Festival this September. We are the Theater Rocks stage at the Xerox Auditorium, thanks to a partnership with Buckingham Properties. And then in the spring, we're going to have a fundraiser showcase on April 8th. 2017. I can't believe we're talking about 2017 already. And that will be at the JCC Center stage. So visit our website and we'll keep you posted.
We are about to be more than halfway through 2016. By the way, Jiva Online where, Chris Minnelli?
JivaTheater.org. Okay. And RE as well.
All right, very good. Well, let me close with you, Chris. As the newest comer to the scene here, you mentioned in Chicago it was pretty collaborative. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always going to be competition. There's also questions on when you sort of reach a saturation point. Is Rochester close to a saturation point in theater that's offered? Are there too many productions, too many shows? How do you see the landscape here?
Not that I've seen. Not that I've seen. I think there's lots of opportunity in all shapes and sizes, you know, from small theaters to large theaters. I think there's lots of opportunity. There's a great excitement in the community to come see theater, and so it's really wonderful.
And in general, do you see this as more collaborative than competitive as a community?
So far, from everyone I've met, seems really interested in getting together, really sharing ideas and seeing what we can all do together. So that's been great.
All right. Well, the next time we bring Arnie in, we'll bring you guys in. We'll see if everybody walks out feeling the same thing.
But, hey, Let's do it.
It's going to be an interesting summer, and we will have a lot more to talk about, from this debate about a new performing arts center to everything else going on in the theater community, and to mark our caller's point about diversity in the theater community. And that's incumbent on all of us to keep those conversations going. Our thanks to our guests this hour. Christopher Minnelli, welcome to Jiva. I say welcome. Welcome to Connections. Nice to have you for the first time. Congratulations on the new post there, and we'll see you at Jiva.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Danny Hoskins, the artistic and managing director of Blackfriars Theater. Good luck to you as you enter your second year there. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
And Mary Tabali Hoffman from Theater Rocks. Thank you, Mary. Great to see you.
Thanks, Evan.
John Andrus is the engineer, Deprina Godboldo is our intern, and Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you on a Wednesday.